Church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. I just think that's a good song. Because if there's anybody that I want to see, I want to see Jesus. It's just a good thing to be able to see Jesus in peace, to be able to know that he is proud and pleased with the work that we've done here on this earth. So I'm excited to one day see Jesus just look upon his face. I think that's a good thing. I don't know, y'all might not think that's a good thing, but I think it is. How y'all doing today? Thank you for your attention this morning as we dug a little deeper into the Beatitudes, verse 6 specifically. I think that if we could get a good understanding of the Beatitudes and get a good understanding of what Jesus is teaching on that sermon, it will bless our lives as Christians tremendously. So I thank you for following along and for thinking through that sermon with me. And hopefully it will impact your life and impact your year, or your year and your life. But we're going to move to the book of Job tonight. And I shall not be long. That's usually the time when Tamika says amen. But today she held back. But I know what was in her heart. She wanted to say amen. If you would look to Job, the 5th chapter, and verse 8 and 9 says, I would seek unto God, and unto God I will commit my case, which doeth great things and unsearchable marvelous things without number. Verse 8 says, I would seek. So if I were you, I would seek unto God, and unto God I would commit my case, which doeth great things and unsearchable marvelous things without number. Amen. That's in your Bible? Mm-hmm. All right. From this passage of scripture, I would like to give you or offer you up the topic, an unlikely source of truth. An unlikely source of truth. Just recently, I was with one of my teachers or employees, and she came to me for some counseling and some help. And when she was talking to me, she is struggling quite a bit. About a year or so ago, she had some surgery on her back. And the result of the surgery went well, but the result of the surgery the surgery was pretty expensive. And her insurance didn't cover it all. And as a result, she wasn't able to pay all of her doctor's bills. And they began to garnish some of her check. And the garnishing of her check made her income less than what she had normally brought in. And as a result, she lost her home. And not only did she lose her home, during this process, she gained or established an addiction to the pain pills she was using to heal from her back. Y'all, this is real life stuff, y'all. And she was just struggling. As a matter of fact, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I came down the hallway and she was laid out on the floor and was going in and out of consciousness. And we had to call the ambulance to come and get her. And when the ambulance came to get her, she was just not there. You know, it was a Monday, and they asked her what the day was. And I think she said Thursday. She was just out of it. And it was because her blood pressure had gotten so high, she really just kind of lost consciousness. So she has just been going in and out, just struggling for the last few months. And she came to me to discuss, and she was very upset. She came and she said, Dr. Mason, I said, yeah. she said, you know, I got an older son. He is a mailman and is doing pretty good. And you know, he called me the other day and he said, Mama, I'm going to take my brother from you. She has an 11-year-old son and a 35-year-old son. And he said, Mama, I'm going to take my brother from you. And then she said, Dr. Mason, he told me, he said, now, and don't you fight me about this. I'm going to come and get my brother. And she said she was just distraught. And she went to another one of her family members. And her family member was a member that had overcome an addiction. And she said, I've been taking care of this little girl her whole life. And I went to her to tell her about what my son said. And when I got there, she told me, well, maybe you should just let him take him. And she sat there and she was just upset. And she said, well, Dr. Mason, what do you think? And I said, well, it might be a blessing. It might be that God is sending your son to take for a period of time your younger son, so that you can get yourself together. And she started to cry. And she said, well, you know, Dr. Mason, I had been thinking about over this holiday checking myself in to a place where I can just get my head straight. And I said, well, what a blessing it is then that if you take some time to get yourself in the right frame of mind, that you have someone who loves your child to be able to keep them. And she sat there and she began to cry and we began to pray together. And a passage of scripture came to me and I shared it with her and I just felt like I need to share it with y'all. It was Job, the 5th chapter. And if you know the context in which we read, this is Eliphaz speaking to Job. Now, Eliphaz is one of Job's 3 friends that sat with him in silence for quite some time. Y'all know the story, right? And you know in chapter 3, there is a number of different discourse that takes place between Job and his friends. Now, Eliphaz, in his discourse in chapter 3, and even going into chapter 5, Eliphaz makes a number of different insinuations. Pretty much what he tells Job is, the reason why you're in the situation that you're in is because you did something. Y'all follow me? He said, you done messed up. And he talks about God. He talks about, and it's in that, right there, you just remember this. During the whole discourse of Job and his 3 friends, they talk about God. Job talks to God. I just want you to remember that. Because we're going to come back to that at some point. Not today, but we got to. Because Job shows his faith in the way he speaks. But Eliphaz this entire time has been telling Job and all that, pretty much, man, you blew it. And that's the reason why you're in the situation that you're in. Now, Eliphaz was wrong about the reason why Job was going through what he was going through. We know, because we've read chapter 1, that this all started with a conversation between Satan and God. And the reason why Job was actually going through something wasn't because of his wickedness or because of his lack of faith. The reason why he was going through it is because God trusted that he would be faithful. Right? So remember that too as we go through. Sometimes you go through things because God believes in you to be faithful regardless of what it is you face. So we know that the reason why Job is going through this trouble is not because of his lack of faith, but it's because of his faith. But Eliphaz has the wrong premise. He doesn't really understand why he's going through this, and he's trying to use man wisdom to describe what God may be thinking, right? And then, but in the middle of all of this stuff, Eliphaz says something to Job that it's sure not true. Now, the reason why I brought that up and I shared the story with you prior to this is because my conversation with my teacher was, is that sometimes you might not like the messenger. You might not even like the way they told you, but the message itself is still a blessing. And sometimes our blessings come from an unlikely source. Sometimes it's the people that you didn't picked up, lifted, helped. Sometimes sometimes it's people you just don't believe can help anybody. But if you listen, sometimes the messenger might be not what you expect, but the message itself is true. I almost called this sermon, "Don't Shoot the Messenger." See, because sometimes we are in a situation where people and God sends messages to us. He sends lessons to us through unlikely sources. But because we've already decided that the source was no good, we won't listen to the message. There's a story David Jones used to say a while ago. He used to say there was a woman who was on her knees on a daily basis. She was starving. She was struggling. And she would get by her window every night, and she was praying, "Lord, please send me food. Lord, please bless me. Lord, please give me what I need." And there was two little knotty-haired bad boys who used to walk past her house every day and hear her prayer. And they would just talk to each other like, "Oh, my goodness, I wish she stopped praying that. Lord, I ain't going to do nothing for her. Oh, goodness." So they would laugh at this woman's prayer. So one day, as they were walking past, one boy said to the other boy, he said, "You know what? Let's go to the store. Let's go get some bread, some bologna, some cheese, and let's go throw it in this woman's window while she's praying." So they did that. They went on ahead, got the bread, the bologna, and the cheese. And while she was praying, she said, "Lord, please help me. I need to eat. Lord, please help me." They threw the bread, bologna, and cheese in the window and ran away. And the woman immediately said, "Thank you, Jesus. I knew you would come through. I knew." And they were just giggling. Now she was just, she didn't even stop to eat. She was praising so much. So the two little boys, after a while, after hearing her praise for a certain period of time, they figured, we finna go rain on this parade. So they knocked on the door. And she opened. She said, "Oh, the Lord just sent me a blessing." And they looked and they said, "Ma'am, God didn't give you that. We threw that through your window." She looked at him and said, "Well, baby, the devil might have brought it, but the Lord sent it." Sometimes the message that we need may come from the devil, but the Lord is the one that sent it. In this passage of scripture, Eliphaz has been saying a whole lot of wrong stuff to Job. But then in verse 8, he says something that's just flat out good advice. He said, "If I were you, I would seek God and I would commit my cause." Why? Because when God does great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. That's some good advice. Sometimes when we are going through our roughest, our most difficult time, the only thing that we can do is just go to God. Go to God, say, "Lord, I don't know what's going on in this day. I don't know what's going on this week. I don't know what's going on with this job. But God, here I am. This is how I feel. This is my case." And God, who does unsearchable, marvelous things, can bless us. See, every now and then, we get some good advice from some bad folks. But if we are humble enough to learn from anybody, we can be blessed. We can be blessed. The messenger might not always be right, but the message might be good. Why did you tell us this, Brother Mason? Because we get ready to go into another week, we get ready to go into another year. And what I want you to do is, as you hunger and thirst for God, as you search, and you, as you, like you starve and go for righteousness, I want you to be so in tune to God's will that you can learn from anybody. I want you to know some. I don't want you to overlook any one of your blessings because you're afraid of the box or what it comes in. My daddy, a few years ago, a few years ago, because I was at home. My daddy bought my mother a very, very nice piece of jewelry. And he is a jokester. He loves jokes. He took a Frosted Flakes box or a Fruit Loop box, and he put the jewelry in the Frosted Flakes box. Watching that. And he wrapped the jewelry, wrapped the Frosted Flakes box. And mama woke up Christmas morning. She opened up her gifts. She got some good stuff, a little here, a little there. And then he said, now you open this one. This is a good gift here. And mama opened the gift, and she saw the Frosted Flakes box. And she said, oh, darling, and threw the box. Come on. I'm just trying to help you. And threw the box. And, oh, me and my sister, we and I just giggled. And daddy said, don't throw the box away until you open it. See, she was ready to get rid of her best gift because she didn't like the package that it came in. She opened that box, boy, and joy came all over her face. Sometimes we got to learn from people who don't come in the box we expect them to come in. Sometimes we just got to be able to open and humble enough to learn from an unlikely source. My uncle struggled his whole life with addiction. My uncle also was probably one of my greatest blessings to avoid addiction. Why? Because he told me some stuff that he learned. Even though he was struggling to overcome it himself, he learned it. He told me one thing. He said, Darwin, this has blessed my life. He said, Darwin, I know you like girls. I said, yeah, I do. He said, and I know they probably like you. And I said, I sure hope so. I just graduated from college. He said, but let me tell you something. He didn't say these words. The words he said was a little strong. But he said, don't you ever date a woman on your job. I said, why? He said, them two don't go together. You fool around and lose all your money trying to chase a girl. That was just good advice. Now, did he have two or three wives? Yeah. But it was just good advice. What are you saying, Brother Mason? I'm saying God can send us blessings from any source. And we just have to have our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open enough to learn from even the most unlikely source. The Christian can learn from anybody. Sometimes you just learn what not to do. If we have our hearts and our minds tuned to God. There are some unlikely source of truth out there. Eliphaz was a pretty good friend. I know we give his friends some hard time, but shoot, they stayed there 7 days before they said anything. They wasn't no bad people. He said a bad premise. But right in the middle of all of that conversation, he said, Job, commit your case to God. Because he is marvelous and can do unsearchable things. That's all I got tonight. As you go through this week, set your mind, set your heart, set your eyes and your ears open to learn about God's will. Learn the best way that you can walk with him. And sometimes it might come in a Fruit Loop box, but the gift inside is sure enough better. You go ahead and stand at your feet. If you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus came as an unlikely source. When nobody had thought that Jesus was going to be the Savior, he was born and rested in the manger. He came from an unlikely source. They was expecting for Jesus to come for chariots on high and to sit in the kingdom that was that would rule the world. Jesus came as a humble servant. He was an unlikely source of truth. And because of the way he came, he was able to speak and work and help the humble man, the people that nobody else wanted to talk to. We invite you to meet him by believing that he's the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing, and being baptized. Maybe you already know Jesus, but you just so puffy. You know, you throw away all the boxes don't look like you want. And maybe it's some messages in there, maybe some humility, maybe some things you can learn if you just opened your eyes and looked at the world, looked at your faith a little differently. You could do that right now as we sing the Song of Invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing pot? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
fully trusted in this?